I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And we're talking to Michael Thompson, Laker broadcaster, Clay's dad. I do want to get back to the Laker-Warrior game, but I don't want to let this get away because I've been waiting all day to ask this to you. I got to think that the Luka trade professionally was wonderful for you, but on a personal level, maybe not so much. Like I saw your comments that Clay has ended up in purgatory now with all the injuries and what's happened in Dallas. So what were your true feelings when this trade went down?
I wasn't bothered by it at all. Obviously it was good for both teams because when it happened at the time, the Mavericks were kind of healthy. They had everybody. Anthony Davis was coming in. They had Gafford and Lively, and, of course, Kyrie Irving was still healthy. So I told Clay, I said, you know what? If you guys are healthy, you guys have the best front line in the game with Gafford, Lively, Washington, and Anthony Davis now when that trade came down. So, yes, you lose Luka, but you gain the second-best all-around big man in the game in Anthony Davis. People act as if Luka was traded for a B-level player. He was traded for an A-level player. Anthony Davis is that great of a player. And I told Clay, I said, with Anthony Davis there and if the rest of you guys can stay healthy, you guys can get to the West Finals.
But it hasn't really worked out that way, unfortunately, for Clay. And, you know, how has he been? Is his dauber down knowing that he lost Luka and Kyrie got hurt and they've kind of plummeted in the standings?
Well, it definitely he didn't like losing Luka. Of course, he missed playing with Luka. But I think when Kyrie got hurt, that really set him back a long way. But now that Anthony Davis is back, Lively's back, Gafford's back, and it looks like they're finally healthy with the exception of Kyrie, they are going to be a very tough out for anybody in the play-in tournament or if they get out of that, and I think they will if they're healthy, they'll be a tough first-round opponent for anybody in the West.
I mean, Michael, like when you professionally have only known one thing and then you try something new, I got to think that maybe there were some surprises, some things you didn't know, like, in general, aside from all of this personnel talk, how is Clay doing in Dallas? How does he like his decision?
He likes it. He's not looking back. You can't look in the rearview mirror. He's looking forward. He's excited to play with Anthony Davis now that he's finally getting the chance to play with him. So he's still having a lot of faith in what they can do in the playoffs. And obviously they're going to miss Kyrie Irving, one of the greatest creators in the history of this game. But they feel like with the healthy squad that they have now, they're going to be, like I said, they're going to give somebody a real tough series in the first round.
Yeah, it could be interesting if they win the 9-10 game and they go on to beat the loser of the 7-8 and they take on Oklahoma City. That would be a fascinating first-round matchup. I want to ask you about Luka Doncic and the fit in L.A., Michael, because, you know, he got traded over and it took him a little bit of time to get healthy and start playing. How has he been not only in the locker room, but how has he been received by the fans in L.A.?
Are you kidding me? They love Luka here. He's now the face of the franchise for the next 10 years. He's 26. The way he plays the game, he can play till he's 40 because he doesn't play above the rim. He plays at his own pace. So they feel like with Luka, they've got a face of the franchise for the next 10 years. And, of course, this being L.A., just like how San Francisco is a very attractive market, they can really put the right kind of players around him in the coming years as LeBron, when LeBron eventually retires. So Laker fans are very excited to have Luka as the new face of the franchise for the next 8 to 10 years.
Michael, did I see you recently take a video from the team bus of Luka Doncic signing autographs, and you threw out some question along the lines of, like, would any other NBA superstar do something like this? Can you tell me what that was?
As you guys know, wherever these guys travel, fans wait to see them outside the hotels by the team buses. And Luka always stops and signs a bunch of autographs for the fans who are there waiting by the team buses to see these guys. He's the only guy I've ever seen that. I've seen Steph do it. I've seen Klay do it. But Luka does it at every hotel. If no other superstar does this. And I said, why can't every superstar have his attitude and sign a few autographs on the way to the bus to appease and make these kids give them a thrill? They're so excited when Luka stops. And you can see the smiles on these young kids' faces. And Luka's been doing this for years when he's with the Mavericks. And I said, why doesn't every superstar have this attitude? Just to stop, give some kids some thrills, sign a few autographs, give a few kids a couple of fist bumps, and then get on the bus. He is the nicest superstar I've seen in years to do something like this.
I absolutely love that he's like that. But, yes, that was what went through my head when you threw that question out. Like, does any other superstar do this? And I was thinking, I'm pretty sure Michael's aware of Steph Curry.
Yeah, see, I don't know if he does it every hotel like Luka does it. Maybe Steph does. And I have seen Steph do it. Steph's very nice approachable to the fans. He's very approachable and very nice to all the fans. I've seen Steph do that, so I have to commend him too. But Luka does it at every stop. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's impressive, and especially when you get to a new city where he's obviously not the most renowned player with the Lakers, because you got LeBron James as well. Michael, I'm wondering if you could be honest about what the Lakers' shortcomings are. I mean, they're the 3 seed, and since Luka came, it's not like they win every game. When you watch all these Laker games, why do they not win every game? What are their shortcomings as a team?
For about 6 weeks, the Lakers are like one of the top 2 or 3 defensive teams in the league. They just went on a defensive run where they were just shutting teams down. And then for about 2 weeks, they sort of slacked off on the defensive end. So the only weaknesses they have, I see, is they just let their defense slack off a little bit. But when they apply themselves defensively and they play that shutdown defense, play that Draymond Green type defense, man, they are nobody's going to beat them if they play defense at the level I saw about 6 weeks ago.
Michael, it's so special when LeBron and Steph get together. You were also a teammate, though, of Magic Johnson. So I wonder, how would you compare the Magic Bird rivalry versus the LeBron-Steph rivalry?
Not in the same ballpark, boys. Steph and LeBron, great rivalry. And LeBron and Steph, of course, did it in the finals. But you're talking about two iconic franchises there with the Lakers and Celtics, the greatest rivalry in team sports. Between two of the greatest icons that ever played team sports in America. And so is Steph and LeBron. You're right about that. You can't argue about that. But I just think Bird and Magic, because it's the Lakers and Celtics, has much more impact than Cleveland and San Francisco, or Cleveland and Golden State.
I get that point, but isn't it a little different now where you've got a league full of many, many more stars? I mean, it wasn't just Bird and Magic back then, Michael. I'm old enough to remember the association, and you had Dominique and Julius Erving and many other great players. But in this day and age where it seems like every team has a star, doesn't that make this rivalry even more special, the fact that these two in their early 40s and late 30s have still continued to do it?
It's a great rivalry, don't get me wrong. Hagler, Hearns, Leonard, Durant, you can compare it to that. But the Celtics, Lakers is Ali Frazier. Everything else is compared to that. You don't compare Cleveland, San Francisco Warriors, Cavs to people don't compare rivalries to that one. They compare rivalries to Lakers, Celtics when you talk about great rivalries.
So, Michael, you truly believe that the Lakers this year, they're an actual contender to win the whole thing?
Yes, I do. So are the Warriors. Draymond Green was right when he said, I guarantee we're going to win the title. I didn't think Draymond was crazy for saying that. They're playing well enough with Jimmy Butler. They could beat anybody. But I also believe, when the Lakers are right, they could beat Oklahoma City, the Warriors, Minnesota, Denver, anybody. They have Denver's number this year. Denver wouldn't want to see the Lakers, but the Warriors will be a tough, tough first-round series. Oh, no question about it if we see each other. But yeah, when the Lakers are right, when LeBron, Luka, and Austin Reeves, and then Rui and their supporting cast are knocking down shots, they could beat anybody.
How many true contenders to win the whole thing are there?
Oklahoma, Boston, Cleveland,
okay.
Warriors, Lakers, and Denver. I think that's six. I think that's the big six.
That's it.
Yeah, I think so. Everybody else will be, you know, you got to respect them as opponents, but I think that's it as far as teams that could win it this year.
And if you are the Lakers right now and you're sitting in the three seed, who's the one team you want to avoid as a potential six seed as your opponent?
Nobody. Are you kidding me? You're supposed to be scared of anybody? What kind of attitude is that? You're supposed to be nervous? No. Yeah, you respect them if it's the Warriors, Memphis, or Minnesota, but you're not supposed to be scared of anybody. Scared of what? Scared of who? That don't work down here in L.A., baby. Maybe that works up there, but not in Lakerland.
Honestly, scared of Steph Curry and Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green, who, I don't know, Michael, do you think he is the defensive player of the year, Draymond Green?
It's either him or Dyson Daniels in Atlanta. Dyson Daniels is leading the league in steals by far, and you got to give that young fellow down there some respect. The Great Barrier Thief, they call him, because he's from Australia. So he's either him or Draymond's going to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Michael, thank you for your prayers.
Oh, yeah. You guys, I blessed you guys. So you guys are in good hands now.
Thank you.
I appreciate
thank
it, Michael.
You. We're not going to bless the basketball team down there, though.
No, not
tonight. Maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, I know that, guys. It's going to be a great game, though.
Let's go.
Yep.
Let's go. Michael,
thank you.
Thank you so much, my friend.
All right, boys.
Okay, there you go.
He's the best.
Michael Thompson on 95.7 The Game, and all of his words were audible. That was wonderful.
And thank you, Michael, for blessing our phone line to make it crystal clear. And just a quick odds maker nugget about Defensive Player of the Year. Draymond Green, minus 150.
He's going to win.
You bet 150 to win 100. Dyson Daniels, plus 5,000. 50-1 odds. So
he's not going to win because he's Dyson Daniels.
Well, right.
Nobody even knows who that is.
And Michael Evan does. Mobley is plus 145.
Yeah.
He would be the guy that you would look at. I mean, Cleveland, best team in the East, and their defense is good.
Look.
But if it wasn't for Draymond Green and his campaigning, and the other guy who is a good candidate, Lou Dort for OKC, they're going to win 70 games.
Yeah, but you just said it. You just said the key word.
Campaigning.
Yeah. He's on ESPN today. Because they've got a studio in L.A., he goes in there to talk to Malik Andrews about being DPOY.
Right.
He's campaigning, and nobody even knows who Dyson Daniels is.
Exactly.
He's totally going to win it.
Yeah.
He's totally going to win it.
Whether or not he should, I think you're right. And, you know, the odds are that he's the odds-on favorite at minus 150.
Okay. We've got all kinds of good news. Because, A, Dave McMenamin's going to join us in a half hour. And, B, between then and now, apparently, we can take your damn phone calls again.
Let's go.
So if anybody has said anything that has gotten anything out of you all day long, now is the time to give us a buzz. Let's take some calls on this Warrior-Laker game, 888-957-9570, and have every single beautiful piece of your voice actually heard on the radio, not only little snippets of it.
Yep.
And by the way, guess what voice you're going to hear first coming up next? Phil Mo Mike.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
I love him.
And apparently he wants to come after you.
He doesn't.
Well, we'll find out.
Come get me.
We'll be live from Splash tomorrow, 2 to 6, getting you ready for the big game against the Nuggets. And it's brought to you by Xfinity Stream Sports from the best seat in the house with Xfinity. Bring on the good stuff. This is Willard and Dibs.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Want to get fired up?
I'm totally fired up.
We're getting fired up by something Steve Kerr actually just said to us yesterday.
I mean, better than what he just said right there?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, nothing's better than him saying our names.
Yeah.
But,
and I always wait for that, for the one where Grandy like plays the one where it's like,
your
you know,
picks stink?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dub Nation,
no.
It's Steve Kerr.
No.
You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
That's right. And there's juice behind that one. You can tell like who on the Warriors likes Dibs and who doesn't. based on the way.
No, you don't. Yeah. No, you don't.
Right? See, yeah. There's history there. Like, Guy Santos sounds like the nicest human being that's
Bay
ever.
Area. It's Guy Santos here. Hey, Dibs, your pigs stink.
See? Yeah, like, he can't even, he can't, there's no hatred there. But, like, Steve pauses.
Yeah.
And then, whoop-a!
It hurts.
Yeah.
You know the one that hurts the most? It's the man who has jumper cables in
Bay
his
Area.
Trunk.
It's Kevon Looney. Yeah. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
Yeah.
I mean.
Juice. And he's like, I don't like that guy.
No, but like, I'm a huge member of the Kevon Looney fan club.
It is not reciprocated.
You want to know what sucks? The trade for Jimmy Butler means we lost the ability, kind of, to use this one more often.
Dub Nation, it's Kyle Anderson. Hey, Dibs, your picks stink.
That one's good, too.
No, that one's
it's
like...
It's all about the inflection.
That's a guy
by the
who...
way, you can still use it. It's still right. Kyle Anderson, and his picks still stink.
Well, that's a guy who took my advice on Niners against Seattle and probably dropped a couple grand on it. That's a man who took my advice and lost. And so when they came to him with fresh copy, he's like, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
How many takes do you want?
Send that one over to me.
Hey, I'll read that one.
Bring me that piece of paper.
Hey, Dibs, you mother jumper. Your picks stink. Yeah. Cost me $2,500. Niners against Seattle.
You like the Lakers tonight?
I love the Lakers tonight.
Yeah! Your
fade, 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 fade. Fade the Dibber.
I will.
I mean, you look at the refs.
Look.
You look at the rest. You look at the matchup. You take the Lakers. You lay the point and a half. Cuckoosh.
Listen.
I said cuckoosh.
I will not touch any of this with a 10-foot pole.
Nor will I.
I will not. I will not, because I don't want to root that way. I just want to relax, and it's National Burrito Day.
Yep.
And we're going to get a grande with chicken in it, and we're going to watch the Warrior game. And that is the sum total of what I want to do tonight.
And no sour cream for you.
No.
You don't like sour
God,
cream.
God, no. On anything ever.
Watch in 10 seconds on this, like, before we get back to Warrior basketball, but mayonnaise or sour cream?
Oh.
Which one do you hate more? You got to choose. Choose or lose.
Sour cream.
It's close, though, because you don't like mayonnaise
well,
either.
Just, I don't know why. Well, like, just look at them. Look at both of them. What are we doing?
They're white and creamy.
You're not going to eat that? You're going to eat that?
Might as well be ice cream.
Yeah. I like, come on, people.
I will spoon feed both of them with giant dollops.
Yeah, and look at you.
Abundant life, I stopped. I'm off the mayonnaise.
Look at you now.
Live read coming up at 5:40.
Can't wait. Anyway.
Anyhow.
I will grant you that if you want to play that NBA game where you get into all of the sort of peripheral factors, it is not a good set of factors for the Warriors.
It's a bad spot.
It is a really bad spot.
Yep.
Okay, the Lakers have, they're coming off of back-to-back, or three off nights.
Three
off nights.
At home.
Referees who skew home.
Yep.
The Warriors are on game six of a six-game road trip, and they have been gone for the better, I think, since 2024.
Basically.
They've been gone forever. And they've got another game tomorrow night against a quality opponent. And, by the way, this matchup historically in recent history has not been good, though I would make the case that these two teams are both different now. But if you want to add all of those things up, it's a tough spot. The tough spot, and I will say this, I will root with everything I've got, but I will not freak out if the Warriors lose tonight. Because of all those things we just said, I think that they've got to split these two games. And I think what you want to watch for, if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm going to watch this game real closely for this factor. If you're chasing... If you're down 13 in the fourth quarter and you need to do one of those, okay, guys,
pull the plug.
Like the Jokic game the other night where people are just putting everything they've got onto the floor to rally, yeah, let's not do that. Don't do that. Play it straight. If it means you lose the game, you lose the game, and let your guys have some legs left for tomorrow night. because if you chase this one tonight and then you don't get it and then you're exhausted for tomorrow night, that's where you could end up in a really bad spot.
It's a fine line, though, because
it's a very fine line.
You just mentioned down 13. Let's say you're down 13 with 9 minutes to go, and it's time for Steph to come back in and Draymond to come back in. Well, you're going to chase
that. I'm putting them back in, but
if you're down 24,
they better cut it to six in about 2 minutes.
Well, yeah. I mean,
you better get a flurry.
But again, it better get a flurry now. It's a fine line, though, because Curry can hit you with that flurry, and you know 13 can get to four in three possessions. So
you got a shot to win it. You go try to win it.
If you're down 23 with nine to go,
different.
And you start the fourth quarter, you're down 17, and now 3 minutes in, you're down 23. Okay, now Curry, now you're going to get 2 minutes to see if you can.
No, hit the bus.
You're going to get a couple of minutes to see if you can get it to 14.
I guess.
And if you can't, then you start to wave the white flag.
No.
I do agree with you.
Airport is that way. We'll see you there in an hour and a half.
It just depends on where that number is and how much time and all the rest of it. But yeah.
888-957-9570. We mentioned that Filmo's on the line. What's up, Filmo?
Yo. Hey, great conversation I had with Michael Thompson. He's always good, but he was extra spicy and good today. And I've felt that. But this, man, I got to come down your road. First of all, we need four refs on the court. But do you wear glasses when you watch the games?
No, I got 20/20, and I didn't even need to go to Scott Hiver or any of the other LASIK surgeons.
Okay, well, like, are you switching from reading glasses to regular? Because you keep saying like the lenses, like that's something to switch. I mean, we saw what happened. You saw it, Steph. For whatever reason, he don't get calls that are straight obvious, and then one call that was stupid obvious when John Morant pushed Moody. Like, what the hell is this? You feel me? And let alone different superstars in the league, he don't get that same call. In a weird way, though, I like that. For whatever reason, I like that. I like that he don't get the calls. It makes Steph look like a better person.
Well,
you feel me?
I get that.
So hold on, Mark. Yep. So Dibs, what did he say? He had 20/20 vision? Well, guess what, Dibs? I got 2010 vision, which is a lot better. So I know you got a guilty rhetoric when it comes to your refs and all that, but I'm going to call you out on it. And are you ready for it?
Do it, Mike.
Yes.
You won't.
Guess what? Your picks stink.
Yeah.
And your lenses got halitosis.
Let me ask you something, Filmo Mike, radio tough guy with a cell phone and a limited data plan. You ever put on the stripes? You ever put the whistle in your mouth and gone up and down?
Oh, God.
Yes, for some 5-year-olds.
Seriously, I love that you act like you have.
Dude, when you see a 9-year-old going to the lane against another 9-year-old,
you better have the courage
to make that call.
You got to drop that, dude. You got to drop it.
It's a bit. All you armchair referees who've never been doing a 5th-grade playoff game in the pressure with 87 people watching. You don't know.
By the way, NBA refs don't even wear stripes. So drop it.
Right. I won't drop it. And Filmo Mike and you're cut from the same cloth. I don't watch.
It's pretty good cloth, actually.
I disagree.
Filmo, you did a great job on the open for the morning show. I love that.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that, man.
Yeah, man.
For real.
Yeah.
Now, I love you, Dibs.
I love you too, Mike. You're a real one.
Why didn't you do an open for us, Filmo?
Because you got some white guy singing some honky tonk music. I don't know.
We didn't pick that. We're not any more white than the dudes in the morning.
Hey, man, you guys are my favorite white boys, man.
All right,
man,
that's all I needed. Now we got that cut, so we'll turn that into an open.
Sure. Yeah.
Thanks, Filmo.
You're the best, Filmo.
Right, see you later.
He's awesome. I just...
halitosis.
My eyes have halitosis, apparently.
Your picks stink.
My eyes are so bad.
And your lenses got halitosis.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, my God.
My eyes are so bad, my eyes have halitosis. That's pretty funny. I didn't know that was possible, but... All right, Mike.
Oh, God.
You got it.
That's funny.
In general, when I watch sports, I don't watch it through the lens of good call, bad call. There's stuff that stands out, of course, but like that game the other night, sure, Ja bumped Moses and Steph doesn't get calls. Yeah, we can do that for every single game. Like, tomorrow we'll come in and the Lakers will have shot more free throws and they will have flopped more and there'll be at least three plays where Steph gets jostled and he doesn't get the call. Okay, that's his reality and it's our reality, and I just don't normally watch a game and have that as my takeaway. I just don't.
You do. You do. Your takeaway is usually the opposite, actually.
Well, my takeaway is a response to the outrage that people have.
No, I get more text messages from you, and yes, they are often tongue-in-cheek, but I get more texts from you about officials than anybody in my life. Anybody in my life, because the lens you're actually on. I'm not coming down your road. This is you. This
Come
is
on who, down.
No, I'm
Filmo
not.
Mark.
No, we've...
Come on down.
That's funny. Your picks do stink. But anyway...
It's April now, so it's
exactly.
Over. Honeymoon's over.
What are you going to do? But, like, the lens that you choose, whether it is your CYO background or not, is you're actually looking for officials to do things right. And officials, by nature, are just, in my opinion, they're like offensive linemen. The society is not here to compliment you when we don't notice you. That's the expectation. We're not going to notice you when you do right. When you do wrong, we're going to be there. And that is the nature of being an official. And every official who does grab stripes or a whistle or a solid gray shirt, whatever they wear, you know that signing up. It's kind of how I feel about football players who like come into the NFL now. I'm going to feel less bad about your CTE 30 years from now because you know. But the players that came before you didn't, we didn't know. We didn't know. So there's going to be more sympathy there. Officials, you know this. This is your role. Your role is to take control of the game and do your job well. And unfortunately for you, there's going to be a long line of people there to point it out when you mess up. That's
right.
Just the way it is.
And that's the way that...
Kind of true for the players too.
Not really.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I mean, if you go out there and, you know, Kevon Looney can go 1 of 2 from the floor and get 6 rebounds and, you know, no one's going to really come down his road because that's the expectation.
That's his expectation.
Right. And for the refs, you could have, over the course of a 48-minute game and you've got almost 200 possessions and a ref can get 98% of them right, but the 2 or 3 ones that he doesn't get right, fans are going to highlight that, and that's just not the way I look at sports.
I don't agree with that. If officials get a few wrong, I think everybody's cool with that.
Well, it depends on how big the moment is that they get it wrong.
That's true, but I also think, like, what I saw against Memphis, that's not 1 or 2. That's a laundry list that's building throughout a game that does 2 things. 1, it's too many of them, and 2, it sets a tone. And it's why I think everybody was so frustrated and angry at the end of the game. Not the fans, the actual players. Like, that's the official's job. The official's job is to know, sort of like, because as you even said, you can call a foul on every play.
Yep.
You can. But you have to set a tone so that things don't get too chippy and they stay safe out there. And especially your stars are protected. I'm not saying call wrong things for them, but you do. You have to protect them a little bit. And I think the officials, not every night, but often, especially this year, I've noticed it more, do not do a good job of protecting the smallest, best player in the world.
Well, that's not their job.
It is their job.
That's what you think, and I don't believe that the official's job is, like, when they're going to game plan tonight, you've got Lakers and the Warriors, and you said it. Your great cousin, Greg Willard, I believe, rest in peace, NBA
Correct.
Official for more than 10 years, I think. Yep. I don't know the exact number.
Many more, yeah.
Right, so he, as a ref, and I know tonight, the crew is going to meet before the game, and I'm sure in their meeting, it's not going to be on the whiteboard of protect Steph Curry.
No, but here's what I mean by that. First of all, they do seemingly do that for all the other stars, and secondarily, I do think they need to protect Steph Curry, and that does not mean, oh, you have to call every foul for him, but... Nobody else, like the Lakers are not having a meeting tonight about Brandon Pajemski. So they're not coming at him and purposefully whacking him, being overly physical. You can watch teams right now. I said this yesterday. This is their game plan. It was Brooklyn's game plan 3 weeks ago. Attack with physicality at Steph Curry, push, shove, harm, all of those things, and let's see if we can, A, get him off his spot, get him off his game. Well, the officials need to protect him from that. That is their job.
Well, their job is to just officiate the game. Right. It's not to protect Steph Curry.
Same thing. Those are fouls. And you have to stop that game plan because it's an illegal game plan.
Sure.
It's illegal.
At the same time, you could do it the other way when you look at a player like LeBron James, for example, where how are you going to stop LeBron James tonight as a Golden State Warrior? Well, you're going to have to try to be physical. You're going to have to try to contain him at the point of attack.
Then they need to protect him.
Right, but
and they need to protect him. That's their
and
job.
And he gets protected at a level that Steph Curry doesn't.
Correct.
So it goes back to yesterday's conversation of why. Why doesn't Steph get the whistle, and what can you do to try to get that whistle? And I don't think it's the referee's job to protect Steph Curry. I know what you're saying about him being a face of the league and all the rest of it.
They got to take that game plan away when they see that.
Well, the game plan is going to be there no matter what. Like every team, if you're game planning against Steph Curry, then if I'm a coach and we're going to face the Warriors, my game plan is going to be, who is my most dogged defender? You follow him. You clutch, grab, hold, bump, chip, shove, all the things that you have to do to keep him off his game.
And the ref's job is to protect him from that. The same way the league worked the Jordan rules out of the Detroit Pistons approach, because it's an illegal game plan and you can't just let it happen. Let's go to Mike in Oakland. Hey, Mike, thanks for calling. What's up?
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you. I don't know how I'm going to follow up Halitosis, the glasses. Shout out to the previous caller.
That was strong.
That was great.
Yep.
Anyways, Warriors are a different team playing L.A. The only team that I worry about is Denver. I got the Warriors ending up in the five spot meeting the Oklahoma City Thunder. That's going to be a hell of a series. That's what I got.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. I mean, honestly, like, I'd almost want to ask you, how do you arrive at that? Only because, like, you might well be right. It is so jumbled. It is so jumbled. And the schedules are so kind of wonky with so many teams that are tanking or coasting or whatever. I have no idea how to predict this the rest of the way. And I mentioned it earlier in the show. Mike, thank you. We could go to bed in the 8 seed tonight.
Right. Or you could wake up and they're the 5 seed and they're one back of the Lakers.
Absolutely.
So either
Absolutely.
Or. And it's funny you mention tanking teams, because the Spurs ostensibly are not really trying to win. Yet last night they beat Denver because Denver decided they didn't want to play people because they wanted to rest up for tomorrow. So you have a tanking team against a resting team, and the tanking team won. And as a result, now San Antonio is one game behind Portland, which would mean you would lose another draft spot in the lottery. So it's one thing to be tanking, and I don't know how many of these teams really are, like Washington, Charlotte, Utah. Are you tanking or are you just terrible?
Utah is.
Well, yeah.
Utah's
like
terrible.
Like Markkanen's not playing.
None of them play.
Right.
They haven't played for months.
Yeah.
I don't even know why it's not an investigation. Oh, maybe it's because it's Utah and nobody cares. Utah has not played their players all year long.
Basically, right?
It's wild. It is absolutely wild. You go through the NBA injury report every night. I think Utah's playing tonight. Is Utah playing tonight?
Tomorrow at Indiana.
Okay. Okay. Oh, that one. Yeah, and by the way, their injury report is already out for tomorrow.
Markkanen, out.
Out. Jordan Clarkson, out. Walker Kessler, out. John Collins
out.
Out.
Yeah.
They're always out. They're always out. And because they're Utah, I don't even know if anybody like is asking what the injury is.
Right.
Just out. They're all there. They're all sitting on the bench in their suits watching the game. I don't know what's wrong with all of them, but Danny Ainge, man.
Right. And I mean, chess, not checkers. And if you're Flagg playing for Duke and you're going to be the number one overall and you see this going on, if I'm Cooper Flagg and I see Utah, Charlotte, and Washington as the likely 1, 2, or 3, the three of them going to be the number one overall, I'm thinking about more time at Duke.
Yeah, maybe.
Where you're making $5 million already.
Exactly right.
And probably making more.
Probably about to go up. Yep. Yeah. Let's go to Debbie in Palo Alto. Hi, Debbie. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'll be brief. I want to go back to your discussion, argument, whatever, about the refs. And there's some, I'm a biostatistician. There's two kinds of bias. One is random, where a given referee could miss a call or get a bad one against any player. The other is systematic. And if they're tend to mostly be or all be against staff, that's a systematic bias, and that needs to be dealt with.
Okay, Debbie.
I like it, Debbie. Two different types of bias. Yeah,
systematic.
Random bias, which is you're a referee and you just randomly miss the same amount of calls no matter who's out there. And systematic bias, which would be Steph isn't as big or as powerful, or he doesn't flop, or he doesn't look for contact as much, and therefore you as a ref don't give him the calls that other bigger, brawnier, LeBronier players actually get.
Well, after this many years, I think to a lot of Warrior fans, it feels systematic.
Right.
And not in some sort of a nefarious way. I don't think people are sitting down like, we're going to get Steph.
Right.
Like, I don't think
he's too nice. He's too good.
There's something, though. There's something. I believe it to be his size and his style and the combo of it. There's something.
It was interesting yesterday when Steve talked about how complaining doesn't work, because we had this very conversation with Steve, and you actually followed up. You're like, then why do you do it? And he said, well, it's just human nature.
Yeah, we're human.
He was saying that complaining to the refs doesn't work. So if you're Steph and you don't get calls and you don't complain, what can you do to make this actually better?
I don't think it works in the moment. I do think there's a lot, like, if you get someone's attention to it, it can help for future calls.
Yeah.
We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good, here for your phone calls, and also for Dave McMenamin, ESPN NBA beat all over the Lakers and the Warriors, and he will join us live next on Willard and Dibbs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs.
Oh, just determined to get me aggregated, huh?
Yep. Yep.
You know what my Twitter feed will look like if I answer your questions?
On 95.7 The Game.
We'll find out. Could it be an aggregation sensation?
That's a buck.
Dave McMenamin is going to join us here in just a second. I do want to say this while we get Dave kind of dialed up. I saw this on our text thread and our YouTube feed a lot, that Michael sounded very feisty or like controversial or angry or whatever today. This is a little bit just kind of the way he talks.
Right.
Yeah, Michael was fine. Like when Michael's got an odd, dry sense of humor. So when he starts the interview by like, the Lakers are going to beat the Warriors up tonight, like, he's not mad. That's his way of poking fun.
Yeah.
So it's okay. It's okay. But let's go out to the River Islands guest line and find someone who I tend to believe will probably be less feisty. And that is Dave McMenamin of ESPN, all over the NBA beat, and great knowledge inside the Lakers and the Warriors. Dave, how you doing tonight? Thanks for jumping on.
I'm happy to join you, Mark, and I'm doing well. I'm glad that we can see the light at the end of the tunnel. It would have been a long regular season, and this is about as close as it can get to a playoff game of the regular season, I'll venture to say, for tonight.
No doubt, and that's why I'm wondering, like, can we actually see a light at the end of the tunnel? Like, from the Warriors' perspective, how confident are you that they are going to be one of the top six?
I'm pretty confident. Listen, they have now more than a quarter of the season of evidence showing that they are maybe a top five team in the NBA. I don't think that's going to all of a sudden dissipate down the stretch. I understand they still have a murderer's row of games ahead of them, but they've found a professional standard that fits with, quite frankly, the dynastic years that they established with the addition of Jimmy Butler. And I think you kind of throw out the season series out the window going into tonight. The Lakers, yes, they've gone 3-0 thus far, but it'll be a different ballgame tonight.
Yeah, and two different teams, Dave, where, you know, the Lakers now have Luka and the Warriors now have Jimmy Butler, and I can't help but think about the Lakers side of it, where they've got 7 games in 11 nights starting with this one. Where are the Lakers right now in terms of their arc of the season with Luka? It seems like it's been a lot of up and a lot of down since he came.
Yeah, certainly way more ups than downs. There have been some downs. Obviously, the way you lose that road trip last week, the game on the road, I should that shocker in Chicago. Obviously, some of the stumbles that they had after LeBron James suffered the strain groin injury in Boston. So it has been a completely upward trajectory. But this is a team that has a ton of belief right now. They are prioritizing certainly staying out of the play-in tournament, making sure they get a top six, while also not trying to push these guys too far that are dealing with neck injuries. I mean, really, you look at the first month of Luka's season with the Lakers as his training camp. And so he is just kind of playing basketball now the way a guy who would show a rhythm in, say, November or December would in a regular season, because he missed all that time with the calf injury. They're still not pushing LeBron too much. Torian Smith came here dealing with some injuries, lower extremities from his days in Brooklyn. So they're trying to kind of accomplish two things at the same time. Win games that really matter while not overdoing it, pushing the gas too much, because they want to be healthy as possible when the playoffs begin.
Dave, we're actually experiencing a little tech difficulty on our end, and I know that you've got a TV hit here in just a few minutes. So let's check in with you again sometime real soon, especially with everything coming down the stretch. Thank you so much, though, for hopping on for a few.
Okay, fellas.
All right, buddy. All right. Appreciate it, man. There goes Dave McMenamin on ESPN.
No TV here, huh?
Yeah. Will you guys call Michael and ask him to pray again?
Seriously.
Can you guys call Michael back and ask him to pray? Dave clearly did not say his prayers at bedtime last night.
Well, and Michael's prayer apparently has a born-on date. And, we got about an hour out of that prayer. And then apparently it's an expiration sensation is what that is.
Although, there's thank you. There's people lined up on the phone lines that we may or may not want to go to. So,
let's give it a shot.
Yeah, no, hang tight. If you're on hold, hang tight. And then let's see if somebody can go outside and do exactly what I would do. You shake that thing. Shake that thing, and then you slap it, and then you yell at it, and try it again.
Yeah, and I will say that I'm not very handy, but duct tape is usually my go-to. If something is not working, I will go, before I go for a more conventional fix, I'll try duct tape and see if that will, stem the tide or get the job done. It's one thing where in my current marriage, I'm, kind of useless. In my previous marriage, the ex was super handy, like assembly, fixing stuff, screwdrivers.
Christy's pretty she's pretty handy too.
And that's the thing about
she's got some knowledge.
Unions where you have strengths, so does Christy. And I'm sure there are some things that are dual weaknesses, things that neither one of you is really good at. And unfortunately in my current marriage, neither one of us is very handy. And so when things break,
you gotta call somebody.
Well, first you hit it.
Yeah, you gotta yell at it.
Then you get the tape.
You gotta kick it.
Right. Yeah. You've got to kick it.
Yeah, and shake it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't work,
like a Polaroid picture.
Thank you. I'll go to the duct tape, and if that doesn't work, then you better call Tyrone.
Yeah.
Call him. Thank you. And I know you know the reference.
I do.
Because you are
tell
undercover.
Him too. Come on.
You're
yeah,
the best.
Like I got you.
I'm trying to cheer you up.
I know you are. I'm fine. I'm fine. And I want to remind you that all guests, the game up here.
That's a five.
River Islands S line. Isn't it the I'm for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Athrop.
That's a rare five. Right. You know I don't give out fives very often.
Yeah.
That was funny. Yeah,
take that.
The damn
take
five.
Take that off.
It's awesome.
Should we try? Mark, do you want to try? You want to try?
He doesn't. And I love this about Mark Grandy is he's... I mean, not conservative, but he's very pragmatic.
Well, let's see here. Kumar in Ukiah.
Maybe.
Welcome to Willard and Dibs. Off you go into the wild blue yonder. What do you have to say?
Well, I hope I sound okay.
You don't, so that's the end of that. All right. Thanks.
Whoa.
No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work. Kumar, that's not personal. It doesn't work.
And
it doesn't work.
Kumar.
Yeah.
Gone. Gone.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. He said, I hope you sound good. You don't.
Kumar, call
not
back.
Not your fault. No. I mean, yeah, call back.
Not today.
Not now.
Yeah.
Not now.
Yeah.
You ain't got to go home, kid, but you can't stay here.
From the YouTube feed, yeah. From Beard, Mark flushed him. Well, yeah.
Kukush.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys this? You guys were talking earlier about what career you'd choose, Steph or LeBron.
Yeah, the poll.
And we're going to give the results of that later on.
Oh, boy, it's a blowout.
In the 5 o'clock hour.
This is our caller, Mark, in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. Hi, guys. First time, long time.
You sound great.
Really
clear phone line.
Does the record head-to-head in the finals mean anything to you? 3-1, Steph?
Right.
Probably should.
Well, and if you look at, like, overall playoff games head-to-head, it's a little bit closer because the Lakers got 4-2.
They got the series.
The last series they played.
A couple years ago.
But, yeah, it does matter.
I'm here for the smug look on your face, too, when you delivered that. That was my favorite part of it. I don't know if everybody caught that over the air.
Yeah.
Like, it was one thing that it was an interesting thing, but it was like, Joel Jabronis, think about that mic drop. I like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I like that part.
Sure.
Grandy.
And it's convenient when you do that because if you want to talk about head to head, you had, well, KD.
Now, why do you say it like that?
Because it's really not.
Yeah, you jabronis.
That's
head to head, but it's not really head to head. It's like.
What do you mean it's not head to head?
So, Steph and KD and Draymond and like a team that's way better than Cleveland. Yeah. Steph gets credit because they won the title, but it's not really, I guess it is, head-to-head.
Then,
because
then neither's tonight.
Right, it's
because
not.
Because Jimmy Butler will be there, and Austin Reeves will be there, Luka Doncic is going to be there, like Draymond Green. So,
well, that's
so
my point.
What are we talking
never,
about?
It's never really just head-to-head, well, like me versus you.
Well, of course it is. And in fact, I mean, you know who would disagree with you is the late, great David Stern. I mean, this was his marketing philosophy to basically make it about individuals. And this league doesn't exist if he hadn't done that. You know what I mean? Like, I can say Chicago Bulls, and then I can say Michael Jordan, and you tell me which is the stronger two words when someone hears that. You know what I mean? Like, the Christmas Day games have been marketed this way for years. Remember Lil Kobe? Remember that? Remember those commercials?
Yep.
So I get what you're saying. Look, it's a team game, and you know who's got the better teammates and the better situation and the home court advantage and who's the favorite and who's the underdog and all of that stuff. But I don't know, man. Like, play along, right? Like,
oh, of course.
Like, this is, yes, it's LeBron versus Steph. I think it's look, at minimum, and we should let everybody know the exact phraseology of the poll before we go too much further in this, but at minimum, that gets a seat at the table. The fact that when Steph's teams have played LeBron's teams in the finals, Steph has won 3 of the 4.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, if you want to go deeper, if you want to just not be completely surface, then you can look at situations and you could look at the second title with Kevin Durant. And, you know, LeBron was playing with J.R. Smith, who got an offensive rebound and chose to dribble the ball in the opposite direction. And, you know, LeBron in that game, if he didn't have 50, he was damn near 50. He was spectacular, and he reportedly went and punched a whiteboard and broke a finger or broke his hand after that game. That was a Cleveland team that was really LeBron and nobody. What, so Steph gets credit.
What year was that?
That would have been, was that?
Was it 18?
17 or 18, yeah.
Well, here, I'll just do J.R. Smith game.
J.R. Smith wrong way. It was game one.
2018.
Yep.
2018.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Steph, they get credit. They won the series. They beat LeBron.
Well, no, I was actually just, I wanted to pull up the box score.
LeBron had 51.
Had 51.
Overtime game.
The Warriors won by 10.
In OT.
Yeah.
Yeah.
J.R. Smith had double digits. He scored 10 points.
He sure did. Kevin Love with 21.
Yep.
George Hill, Tristan Kardashian.
Yeah.
Jeff Green, Jordan Clarkson. I mean, these are just guys. And
Steph had 29. KD had 26. Klay had 24. Draymond was an assist shy of a triple double, 13,
right?
11, and 9.
Kevon Looney, 8 points and some jumper cables.
God, that team.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Nick Young scored a basket in that game.
Jordan Bell with a gutsy 4 off the bench. He's a duck, right?
Patrick McCaw.
Yep.
McCaw.
Sean Livingston, a perfect 4 for 4.
Yeah.
Wasn't he always? I never remember him missing a shot ever.
It's so funny you
say
that.
He never missed a shot.
Because every game he was either 2 for 3, 3 for 4, 4 for 4, or 4 for 5. He didn't have an 0 for 7 or a 1 for 9.
No.
He would get his 3 or 4 times where, all right, Sean, do your little post up, mid block, turn left shoulder and throw it up off the glass. You're going to make it.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.